So we prepare our hearts for worship this morning. Hear these words from Isaiah 43. But now, thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Would you pray with me? Father God, before we do anything else, we stop for a moment to just be silent in the presence of the Holy One, to let our souls be in awe that the God of the universe would choose to be right here with us right now. Thank you, O God, that though you are over all, you choose also to be a God who is near, a God who is willing to step into our world and into our lives, to walk with your people through the waters and through the fire, to be that great protector and that mighty one who always moves with love. I pray for all of my friends in this room who feel like they are walking through some waters and some fires today, that you would be that redeemer, that savior, that peace that you promised to be. Father God, we come together this morning as your people, and we lift up a prayer for our world. We pray for Israel, and we pray for Iran, and we pray for our own country, and all of the many nations that are affected by violence and by war. We know, O God, that you are a God of peace. We know that we serve a Jesus who has made it so clear that violence does not lead to peace. And yet we often don't know what to do instead. And so, God, would you help us continue to be our wisdom and our guide, our creativity of seeing other ways for families in these countries that are mourning the loss of loved ones? Would you be near? For the days ahead, would you give all of the different leaders wisdom to walk as you walk, to make choices that would reflect your heart? And knowing that governments often go their own ways all over the world, may we as your people continue to walk in your way, O God. Whatever that looks like for us, let us be peacemakers. Let us be bridge builders. Let us be brothers and sisters to one and to all. We are here this morning because we're your people. And we want you to be exalted all over the earth. Let it be so beginning with us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'll open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 15, we are starting a new sermon series this morning that will carry us through most of the summer, following the people of Israel in their wilderness journey and considering in our own lives the wildernesses that we face and how we walk step in step with our God in those disorienting sort of places. The story begins in Exodus chapter 15, verse 1. This is right after they have passed through the Red Sea. Then Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. Horse and rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my might, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he cast into the sea. His picked officers were sunk in the Red Sea. The floods covered them. They went down into the depths like a stone. Your right hand, O Lord, glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, shattered the enemy. In the greatness of your majesty, you overthrew your adversaries. You sent out your fury, it consumed them like stubble. At the blast of your nostrils, the waters piled up. The flood stood up in a heap. The deeps congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil, my desire shall have its fill of them, I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. You blew with your wind, the sea covered them, they sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in splendor, doing wonders? You stretched out your right hand, the earth swallowed them. In your steadfast love, you led the people whom you redeemed. You guided them by your strength to your holy abode. The peoples heard, they trembled. Pang seized the inhabitants of Lystia. Then the chiefs of Edom were dismayed. Trembling seized the leaders of Moab. All the inhabitants of Canaan melted away. Terror and dread fell upon them. By the might of your arm, they became still as stone until your people, O Lord, passed by, until the people whom you acquired passed by. You brought them in and planted them on the mountain of your own possession, the place, O Lord, that you made your abode, the sanctuary, O Lord, that your hands have established. The Lord will reign forever and ever. When the horses of Pharaoh with his chariots and his chariot drivers went into the sea, the Lord brought back the waters of the sea upon them. But the Israelites walked through the sea on dry ground. Then the prophet Miriam, Aaron's sister, took a tambourine in her hand, and all the women went out after her with tambourines and with dancing. And Miriam sang to them, "Sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. Horse and rider he has thrown into the sea." Then Moses ordered Israel to set out from the Red Sea, and they went into the wilderness of Shur. Would you pray with me? And now, living God, as we turn to your word, as we lean into this ancient song of your people, would your spirit move in a fresh way among us? As we face our own wildernesses, would you help us this day hear whatever it is you want us to hear? And so you might help us be whoever it is you want us to be. And so you might help us do whatever it is you, O Lord, want us to do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Anyone been in the wilderness lately? Our life before Miles, Guy and I enjoyed a few backpacking trips. Our very first one had us somewhere in the middle of nowhere in the Cascades. We hadn't seen another human being the entire day. We set up camp that night and we were boasting together about how amazing this was. We have this entire mountain all to ourselves. Perfect peace, such fun. And then right about midnight, we're laying in our tent and it is pitch dark. And we start to hear noises. What was that? That sounds big. Guy starts digging around, fumbling to find the one knife that he thought to bring in the last second. What are we gonna do with that if our tent gets pounced on by a cougar? I don't know. Our conversation changes from "this is amazing" to "this is really kind of scary." We are vulnerable here. If something eats us tonight, we might never be found. A night in the wilderness. We use this imagery of wilderness to talk about more things than just forest and deserts. When we talk about life's wildernesses, we're talking about those places where we feel vulnerable. Those places where we're wandering around disoriented, having left a home that we were familiar with and not yet arriving in what's going to become our new home, the wilderness. Some of us know that kind of wilderness all too well. when a marriage dissolves, you're single for the first time in your adult life, you're not yet sure how to navigate this, it's a wilderness. When the faith of your childhood is put to the test, and some of those things that you always thought had to be true just don't seem all that true anymore, and you don't yet know where you're going to land, we call that a wilderness. When you want to be used by God, you really do, but you haven't yet received any clear direction on what might be your work to do, and you're trying things and you're staying open, but nothing is really connecting. Call that a wilderness. When you're somewhere between the diagnosis and the cure, that long journey, that long season of treatments and doctor's appointments and checking my chart every day, not knowing how this health journey is going to end. A wilderness. You couldn't wait for retirement, and then it came. And you've got no idea how to find your purpose now. Call that a wilderness. I've started reading a book by Brian McLaren that is called Life After Doom, Wisdom and Courage for a World Falling Apart. You're like, don't you have anything more fun to do than that? No, no. And right off the bat, he names what a scary place is that our world we are living in today. We know this. Threats of nuclear war, climate change, AI. Our future seems to be as unknown as ever. None of us in this room really has any idea what our home will look like in 10 years, what our kids are going to see when they're adults. We do know that it's not going to be a home like the home that we have known, but we don't know what it's going to be. A wilderness, slowly losing what we've known, but waiting to see what is going to be. Anyone in a wilderness lately? Anyone in a wilderness today? What do we do when we are in these wilderness places? What do we hold on to when it feels like everything is slipping through our fingers? What do we do? That's the journey that we're going to be taking this summer alongside some folks who know all about this wilderness thing. So get your backpack ready because we're going into the wilderness together. Israel has been in captivity. They've been slaves to the Egyptians for 400 years. And one night, their leader, Moses, says, get up, grab your stuff as fast as you can, and follow me because we are getting out of here. And off they go. They head toward the Red Sea. They get to this massive body of water. The Egyptian army is behind them. The sea is in front of them. And you know how the story goes. Moses steps into the water, raises his staff, and God parts that sea, and the Israelites pass right through on dry land. And once they reach the other side, they have now entered into what's going to become their new home. The waters come crashing down, drowning Pharaoh and his army. After 400 years of living in one place with one identity, with one clear way of doing things, knowing pretty much how any day might go. On this day, the Israelites find themselves standing in the wilderness. A new future awaits. A new way of living is going to have to be figured out. But before they get busy doing any of that, this happens first. Today's question, what can we do now to get ready to enter the wilderness when it comes? Not if it comes, when it comes. What do we do in this season to be prepared in our faith and in our hearts for whatever the next season may hold. What do we do now? Notice how Israel enters their wilderness. All the people, like 3 million perhaps, singing the song of Miriam and the song of Moses together. This is the oldest poetry in all of Scripture. And Miriam's song is believed to come first, and then Moses adds to it. Miriam's song, sing to the Lord, he is exalted. Horse and rider, he's thrown into the sea. And all the women begin to sing and dance with her. And they're playing their tambourines, singing together about the glory of Yahweh. Then Moses and the men join into the chorus, repeating Miriam's song, adding more about who this God is and what this God has done. If we can imagine this morning that here we are, this really big table, and we are sitting around it with Moses and Miriam. Try to imagine that. And we say to them, Moses and Miriam, you guys are like the heroes of the wilderness. And so we are about to step into a wilderness of our own around here. What advice do you have for us as we start this journey? Looking at Exodus chapter 15, we can think of a few things that they may say to us. Perhaps three things that they say, do this now. Do this now, and it will give you something to hold on to when everything that you know begins to slip away. Do this now. One thing, before you get to the wilderness, cultivate a life of praise. The Israelites step into their brand new home, and the very first thing they do is break into song. The first thing that the women pull from their bags is tambourines. Imagine this scene. Imagine leaving the home that you have always known with like a half hour's notice and knowing that you're never going to see this home again and being told you can only carry with you whatever you can hold on your back. Think of what you would take and what you wouldn't take in that scenario. How many of you have, I'm going to grab my tambourine on the top of your list? There is no way I'm leaving my home without that. These women did. Why? Not just Miriam, it says all the women grabbed their tambourines. They all brought one. Why? Because the people of Israel, before they ever got to the wilderness, already knew the power of praise. When they left their homes in a hurry, they said, I am going to bring with me what I am going to need to praise my God wherever we are going. Have you ever thought about the role of song in Scripture? Genesis chapter 1, the creation story. We often hear it called the creation song because it's written as poetry. The song of Yahweh singing life into being. Over time, the people of Israel put together the Psalms right in the middle of our Bible. 150 songs that were to be sung to God in community. And they will come together and they will sing these songs from the temple courts in Jerusalem when everything is right in the world. And they will sing these very same songs from exile places in Babylon when they have literally lost everything. They will sing these songs in every season because the people of Israel have learned that songs of faith have this way of carrying us through. Revelation says that there is a people from every tribe and tongue and nation gathered around the throne of the Lamb, singing praises to him forever. Have you ever followed that thread through Scripture? Our story begins with a song. Our story ends with a song. And all woven into our story is a song, the people of God praising their God. God has given us the songs of our faith to give our hearts something to hold on to, no matter what life brings us, no matter where life takes us. People can take away our homes. They can take away our savings account. We can lose our health. But no one can take away the songs that are planted deep in our hearts. Moses, Miriam, before we get into the wilderness, what should we do? Oh, get those songs of faith deep in your heart. Learn how to praise God with all of your being, wherever you are. If you can learn to praise God here, you will be ready to praise Him wherever there may be. I am so grateful that I was raised in a home that poured over me and into my life the songs of faith. My mom was a single mom for a lot of my younger years, working hard, tired on the weekends. But I tell you, she did her very best to bring me to church every single week, where I got to hold her hand as we sung the songs of faith together. And I had grandparents who would sing these songs in their car. They would put in the little Gaither tape and push rewind, and then we'd be ready to hear it again and again. My grandma Mimi, I called her Mimi, she would hum the hymns while she cooked and while she cleaned. And when we would go to church, these two, my grandma and grandpa, they would belt out these hymns louder than anybody else. It would embarrass me. Looking back, it's a beautiful sound. I think of being a teenager, and I think of how I found my place in this world as I sang out the songs of faith with my peers at summer camp. I think of whenever I was about 8 years old, our pastor's wife, Marjorie Brown, was diagnosed with cancer. Eventually, she lost her life to cancer. She shared a testimony in our church one day, and she said, "Even in this wilderness," she said, "I start every single day singing this chorus," and I'm not going to sing it because you've heard me sing. "Still I will trust you. Still I will follow. Still I will listen to your every calling while the storm rages on and I can't find my way. Still I will trust you, Lord." Marjorie said, "I sing it every day. This song is carrying me through. And I find myself now, almost 40 years later, singing those exact same words when I feel overwhelmed." I think of my dear grandma and her darkest wilderness of dementia, when she would become so afraid and so confused. And the one thing that would bring her peace in those dark places were these songs of faith. Her brain could no longer remember my name, but she could still sing all four verses of "On Jordan's Stormy Banks I Stand." Because they were the songs of her heart. They'd been sung so much that they were still there when the wilderness crept in. My little boy, since he was a newborn, before he falls asleep, every chance I get, I find that I hold him and I sing over him in my tone-deaf voice the songs of faith. Because I want my baby to have what has carried me through my darkest days. And so the best I can, I sing over him, trusting that in his wilderness days, he too will have a song that tells of God's love that just comes pouring out of him because they've been poured into him and they've been growing in his heart his whole life long. These ladies on this foreign soil, no idea what's ahead. They pick up their instruments and the men join in. Not a one is going to enter this wilderness before they have stopped and sung praises to God. My friends, if you're in this room today and you are not in a wilderness, thanks be to God. Sing, sing, sing. Get those songs of faith deep in your heart. Get your kids and your grandkids in those places where they will hear these songs of praise and they will become the songs of their hearts too. Where they will be able to sing the songs that their heart has begun to know the best when our world is at its worst. And if the wilderness has already found you, sing praises to your God. Because these songs of faith for thousands of years now have had a way of turning dark to light and despair to hope. And weariness to strength. Sing, people of God. As we praise Him, we will see that goodness that we are singing about. It is guaranteed. Moses, Miriam, what do we do? What do we do before we enter the wilderness? Get those songs of faith deep in your heart. What else do we do? Cultivate practices that help you recognize God's presence and help you know God more every day before you get there. The Israelites just stepped on the soil of freedom for the first time in 400 years. They've got a lot to do. They've got fires to start, firewood to gather. They've got tents to set up. They've got food to pull out. They've got an entire desert to explore. They are about to get busy. But before they do a thing, they're going to stop right where they are, and they're going to take time to reflect on what just happened. The living God just opened the seas for them to pass through. They have just witnessed God's presence and God's power and God's love for them with their own eyes, and they will not rush to the next thing until they have marveled at this thing together. They will name what God has done. Horse and rider He has thrown into the sea. They will declare who God is. He's my salvation. He is great and majestic. He is holy and awesome. He is a faithful God who has promised His people a new home. And look, here it is. He is a God who is good to His word. Before you go into the wilderness, before, make it a priority in your life to get to know who God is. Get to know God's promises. Learn how to hear God's voice. Learn how to see God's hand in your life. My friends, if we are too busy to slow down and get to know our God now, if we are too busy to take the time to be quiet and listen for God's voice, if we are too busy for that when life is easy, then we will have no idea how to recognize the God who is right in front of us when life is hard and we are now desperate for Him. When you're not in the wilderness, that is the perfect time to give your time to knowing God as best as you can. And so when everything else gets shaken, you will know that you know that you know that rock who always stands. How do we do that? How do we get to know our God the best way we can now? How do we do it? We prioritize worship for one. That's where we hear together what is true week by week by week. We get into groups that are going deep into the study of Scripture. We dare to read books about God that stretch us. We put ourselves in God's word every single day. I suggest as you read His word, take out a piece of paper and begin to list as you read about God everything that you see that tells you about God's character, and everything you see that tells you about God's promises. Just let this be an ongoing list, and then put that list somewhere where you're gonna see it every day, and start every day by saying out loud these things that are true about who God is and how God moves. Say it to your brain, to your heart, again and again and again, until you just know that list frontwards and backwards. We practice hearing God's voice by putting into our lives times of silence and times of solitude. It's hard to hear him when there's always noise. We're practicing hearing God's voice together twice a month right here, worship in the round, discipleship groups. Be in those places where our toolboxes are getting filled with these ways to know and encounter God week by week by week. Please don't do this. Don't wait until you're desperate before you finally get serious about knowing God. There's way too much else going on when you're desperate. The Israelites took time to recognize what God had done and to proclaim together who they already knew their God to be before the wilderness ever came their way. What are you doing these days to know God more? What practices are a part of your life that are helping you recognize God's presence more and more? When we learn how to know God and see God right here, we will know God and see God right there, wherever there may be. Finally, Moses and Miriam, is that it? Give us something else. Okay, good. There's always 3 points, right? Before you step into the unknown, before you enter the wilderness, before cultivate community with the people of God. The Israelites, they enter the wilderness together. They will be on this journey with God together. They have been together long before the Red Sea parted. They've lived in community together, telling the stories to each other of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. They've shared meals together and festivals together and life together. And so when it is time to leave everything and enter into this vulnerable new world, they will be going together and they will get through it together. So often I run into folks who have been in and out of the church, maybe kind of joined in, popped in on a Sunday here and there, maybe even for years, but who never really made time, even in their church life, to gather around tables, to really hear the stories of anybody else in this room. Folks who never really have come around to get our hands dirty serving together, or just to be in friendship together. And then in these stories, so often something happens. A spouse passes away unexpectedly, or a diagnosis comes, or a season of depression just hits really hard. And they lament to me about how they feel so very alone in this wilderness. And my heart grieves with them. And it grieves because I see that these folks have not cultivated any community with their brothers and sisters in Christ in their life before the wilderness hit. And now they are desperately in need of it, and they do not have the energy to build it. There's too much else going on. And so they just feel so very alone. We have got to spend every season of our lives cultivating Christian community, letting ourselves be present in the lives of our brothers and sisters in faith. I tell you, over the next 40 years, there'd be days in the wilderness that the people of Israel were not all that sure that their God had not forgotten them. And there were going to be days that they couldn't see God at all, and that they couldn't feel his presence, and they really could hardly believe that he even loved them. And on those hardest, darkest days, thanks be to God, they weren't alone in that desert somewhere. But they had the community of God to remind them together of God's faithfulness. They had the people of God to love them in a way that would carry them through until they could see with their own eyes God's love for them again. My friends, we cannot find joy and peace and hope and wisdom in the wilderness on our own. Moses and Miriam are the heroes of our faith, and even they couldn't do it alone. Jesus to the wilderness alone. We're not Jesus. We're more like Moses and Miriam. We cannot do it alone. We must go in with God's people walking alongside us. If you are not in a wilderness today, perfect. That means that this is your season to cultivate Christian community. Don't miss it. And don't put it off. And don't hold us at arm's length. And don't say, it's summer. I'll wait until the next season to be around the table with people. Don't put off the table that is offered right here, right now, today for another day. This is your season. Don't think that you don't need us. And maybe lay down any pride that says you don't really want us. We are your brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. And we are called to walk with him together in these days. We must, or we will all die in the wilderness alone. These are the folks that you will be with in the promised land for eternity. Start getting to know them now. Love them now. Church is not some place you go as much as a people that you are falling in love with Jesus with. And these are your people. Awesome, huh? Cultivate real community right here. You'll get through the wilderness if you're with these guys in it. I can testify to that. Over the last 10 years here in Belfair, I've had some wilderness moments. When I was pregnant with Miles and got the results back that he was very high risk for having some pretty extreme special needs, I immediately sent out word to about a dozen people in this church, and I said, I'm in a wilderness, I'm in a valley, I'm scared to death, I need you to be my people to hold out faith for me right now. And I tell you, those people of God held me up in those uncertain moments. The hard years here, the first years dealing with loneliness and hurt feelings from all kinds of things. There were some of you in this very room who popped into my office often during those first years and said, how you doing? We're gonna make it through this together. Last year, our church had an amazing year and also a really scary year financially. And I lost a lot of sleep that year. And the church council came around me as my brothers and sisters and said, you're not alone to keep this ship floating. This is God's thing, and we are in it with you. We will pray with you. We will hold this up with you. We will hold out hope with you. We got through that wilderness together. 2020, anyone remember that year? We walked through a stinking pandemic, and we did it together. You got me through every one of these wilderness experiences. You did it, the living God, through you. As you look around this room, are you letting these folks be your community? Are you showing up at their tables? Are you inviting them to your table? Are you encouraging them in their faith journey? And are you letting them know enough about your life so they can encourage you in your faith journey? We will go through a wilderness. Who will be there with you when you go through it? Build that community now. A song of praise on our lips. Daily practices that grow us in knowing our God. The people of God around us, no matter what comes, we will stand. After that song, Moses says, "All right, come on, people." And they take their first step into the desert. The wilderness journey begins. Get ready, friends, because we're going with them. Would you pray with me? Father God, thank you that you don't just throw us into the wilderness seasons of life with nothing to hold on to. But instead, in this very season, you give us songs to sing. You let yourself be knowable. You let yourself be seen. In this very season, you give us brothers and sisters to be our companions on the road. Let us do the work of growing all of these things deep in our hearts, and so that whatever comes in our country, in our world, in our personal lives, though it may shake us to the core, it will not shake our faith, our love for you, and our love for our neighbor. For those things are being grown right now. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.